Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, we're in Studio B here at RNZ in Auckland for NZ Live today. It's my pleasure to welcome Rita May and her band. Last year, she released her debut album, Super Feeling. It's about to release a new single. It's called Kiss the Sky. Rita May, kia ora.
Hello.
Hello. I think let's just have a round of introductions. You decide what order you want to do it in. Say your name, say what you're playing.
Hi, I'm Rita May, and I'm singing and playing guitar.
I'm Jono. I'm playing guitar today. We've got Jacob here.
We've got Jacob Brown, bass guitar. Welcome, Jacob. And we also have Ezra Donnelly on drums. Sorry, realising both of you don't have microphones and that just kind of blew that out of the water. But anyway, what a great way to meet you all. So you have emerged from musical hibernation. You've recently spent some time making music in LA.
I have, yeah.
What were you doing? Where were you? Lots of new music in the works.
Yeah, well, I guess last year I released my first project, which was like heavily a sort of me figuring out my sound and blah, blah, blah kind of project. But I love the project. And then once that came out, I was just kind of like, I just need to change a scene. And so many friends and people were going to LA and saying they loved it. And I kind of just, without thinking that much about it, just went and met a whole lot of great people that have actually ended up hugely, it's actually mostly the LA trip that the next project has been born from. So yeah.
It was well worth it, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
So, let's get into it. What can you tell us about your first track today, Real Love?
Real Love. So this was one that I wrote by myself and produced pretty much by myself as well. It was like, I guess a song I'd written right before a breakup and kind of, I don't know, helped me through that as songs tend to. And I guess the song's just about romanticizing, I guess de-romanticizing romantic love for me and romanticizing like all the other kinds of love that there are. Like, I think there's such a focus on relationships, and I guess I was just like, there's so many relationships that I see and I've experienced that seem to sort of take more than they give, and I guess this song was kind of my way of saying like, if it's taking more than it gives, I'd rather just, like, not be in it and wait for a thing that's, like, adding to my life, you know?
I do. Because, yeah. Of course, when you say you wrote something before the breakup, were you breaking up? Or you were the breaker-upper or the breaker-upper with?
I was breaking up. Kind of mutual, but maybe more from me.
And also it's that experience where when we are doing something creative, often it has a premonitory nature to it.
That's almost a scary thing about songwriting that I've experienced is like, I'll not know that I feel something and then I'll write a song and I'll like say some lyric that's like, feels like it's guiding me towards something, and sometimes I don't even know if that's like a bad thing, that I just like said this thing that rhymed with the thing before and it sounds cool, so I like think it's some truth of my life and then I make some big decision. But that's kind of how my life has been running for the past few years.
Let's hear Real Love.
Yeah, let's do it.
Into his eyes, you can call it love just 'cause he caught you. Almost enough to keep you warm.
Rita May and band, who are live here in Studio B, RNZ in Auckland. We're with Tamaki Makoto, Auckland-based artist Rita May. Great to have you and your band in the studio, Rita, this afternoon. Now, you grew up in a musical household.
I did, yes.
Can you elaborate?
I guess it's pretty standard in a lot of ways. Like, I just grew up with parents that love music, so there was a huge amount of music listening going on because my parents were both so into it. A big influence was my dad for sure. He was a songwriter and a musician for his whole life. And I guess I just grew up with him showing me all the stuff he liked all the time, which I think just hugely based my taste in music. To be honest, I actually think it was probably the other artist he showed me more than his own songwriting that directly influenced my taste, because he was so secretive about his songwriting.
And your dad, let's tell people who your dad
is. My dad was Jim Lang. He was in this band called the Jean-Paul Sartre Experience, and then later on had a project called Lanky. I heard heaps of his songwriting growing up for sure. And I guess it's interesting now, even though my music's quite different in genre, I feel like there's a lot of I hope there's a lot of melodic and lyrical tendencies that maybe I've accidentally have crept into mine, or I'm just ripping him off maybe, but
I love it. Yeah. Who better? So when you, do you remember when you first picked up a guitar or when you first sung a song?
Yeah, there's actually a recording of my first ever song, because Dad got so excited. I was five and I wrote a song called Up in the Sky with the Fairies, and he was so excited that I was writing songs that he figured out the chords on the guitar and recorded it on Pro Tools, and it's on a CD.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. But music wasn't your first career move, right? You were dabbling in science, I understand.
Yeah. That was a blip. in my life. I was quite lost and a bit sad at the end of high school because Dad had actually just passed away in my last year. And I just couldn't face music, I guess. It was just like, felt very hard and emotional, and I was like, just kind of couldn't be bothered with how hard I knew it would be. And I was just quite nerdy and good at science, and I was like, I'll try to be a doctor instead, because ridiculously it seemed more easy and simple than music, which is crazy because it was so hard and I did terribly. But I got a random science degree, and then at the end of that, I think I'd kind of gone through enough of my emotional processing to face doing music. It was honestly almost like a time filler to go through some stuff and get this random degree and then be like, okay, I'm ready to do music now. So,
yeah. And some of your earliest stage appearances were at Muruwai open mics.
They were. How do you know that?
Got a great team here.
Yeah, I did a lot. Just open mics in general were a big part of my life for actually years. I was like, I saw it as like my training because I was such a nervous performer. Like, I could sing so confidently at home, but the second I was in front of people, it was like, literally couldn't do it. And so I imposed training on myself, which was going to at least one open mic a week for like 2 years.
And then performing your own music?
It started out with a lot of covers with my sister. And then when I moved back to Auckland after my degree, I mostly performed my own stuff. And it was almost like a testing my material thing. I was like, what songs do people talk over the most? And what songs do people, like, can I get some people listening to pretty much?
Research, you see.
It was research.
It came in handy.
It was.
Now, you released your first single in 2021, not too long ago, really. Now, has anything happened since then that surprised you? A highlight, maybe?
Well, I guess the first single was better received than I thought it would be. It's not like it blew up or anything, but that when I released that, I had basically no musical connections at all. And it was actually John O'Hare's cousins, Georgia and Caleb, that found it somehow and, like, hit me up to, I guess, just, like, they almost became these sort of, like, mentor people in my life.
Did you know John O before that happened?
I didn't, no. So, like, that's how I've ended up playing music with Jono, which has been amazing. The Knots are the best. I guess, like, that was weirdly felt like a big thing because they were, like, kind of people I idolized when I was, like, in high school. And then they were like, well, we think you're cool and we want to, like, be part of your journey. And they have just been, like, amazing musical friends. Yeah.
Lovely. Okay, tell us about this next song, My Bad.
So this song is a super secret unreleased song off the next project. Well, not so secret, but it's basically about, I guess it's kind of being crazy, but in a way that's like owning the craziness. Like, I feel like as a girl, you grow up sort of being taught that, like, you want to not seem crazy, like you want to be very chill and, like, not let people know how you feel, like have crushes and cry and stuff in secret sort of thing. And this song's very much like the opposite thing of being like, I love you really quickly and I'm maybe slightly all over the place and I'm just like saying that very honestly and not apologizing for it.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
My bad if I'm falling in love too fast. My obsessive list of all the reasons you should fall in love the way I did. I could be crazy or I could be right that this is it. My bad if I'm falling in love too.
Rita May, my bad. Rita May and band here from NZ Live, Studio B, RNZ in Auckland. That was cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, so nice to be physically in the studio. What a treat.
Yes,
I get why Jessie has this job. I really do. Now, you're working with producers and you talked about going to Los Angeles recently and that leading to all the things that we're going to hear from you shortly. In the near future, have you always taken a collaborative approach?
Very much not. It's something that I actually took so long to become comfortable with. And actually, this is something I think I got from my dad as well. He was like a hermit songwriter. Like, he obviously released stuff, but I guess while I was growing up, it was very much like dad in the band room, like doing his secret songs, and you'd like hear them if you were lucky, sort of thing. And I guess, like, I kind of picked up on that and just was secretly writing songs in my room, and I'd only show them to basically my big sister, Bridie, because she was, like, a big supporter of my early days songwriting. And, yeah, I guess, like, that was kind of how my whole songwriting craft developed. I was just very shy, didn't want to share it with anyone, really. I'd, like, perform it, but I wouldn't write with people because, weirdly, that felt way more vulnerable and confronting than performing in front of a lot of people. And yeah, I guess basically when I wanted to start actively writing and recording music, I was like, I have to learn to work with people. It's just like really hard to do it on your own.
How did you make that first step?
Well, the first song I ever released, I actually recorded with Buzz Moller, who's my godfather. He was like one of the only music connections I had in Auckland. And so he was just like, I'll help you out. And he recorded that with me. And then basically that song led to me meeting people that were like, I guess that saw sessions and writing together as a casual thing. And they were like, oh, come write with us. And I was like, yeah, sure. As if it was this chill thing. And I was like terrified. And it was just a fake it till you make it kind of thing. Like I acted like I was confident and comfortable, and I was so uncomfortable. Because, like, it felt way too precious to share with anyone, and anyone's opinion just, like, would hurt my feelings so much if they didn't like every single lyric I had. And now I'm way more sort of nicely detached about it. Like, I see it as almost this, like, mathematical process in a way that it's, like, if someone hates a lyric, they don't hate me, you know?
That's an important distinction.
It's really hard to make at first, though. At first when someone rejects a lyric, you do feel like they're rejecting you. But yeah, it's been fun though, like collaborating with people, I guess just means you get to like have someone in the room to high five when it's done rather than high fiving yourself. Like it's just fun to share it with people and have like more than just yourself to be excited about a song with.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of sharing, you've recently posted an old photo of yourself on Facebook with Andrea Swift. Yes, Taylor Swift's mother. And I just wondered, I'm just going to do a little description here.
Oh, my God.
This is you, just to clarify, on the left of Andrea Swift.
No, that's... No, this is you.
You're the blonde one. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me clarify. So you are wearing a very... Well, it looks like you're wearing shorts, black shorts. It looks like
a Taylor Swift costume replica.
Thank you. And it's a red sparkly jacket with... Keep going.
Well, so my parents, extra context, my parents had a costume hire, and so I requested matching outfits to be custom made for me and my friend, and the seamstress did. And then I saved up busking and got VIP tickets, and then I saw Andrea, who I knew from all my like Taylor Swift research was Andrea, started screaming and crying, Andrea, and then she came over and they gave us backstage passes to meet Taylor Swift.
And where were you? Where did this happen?
This was at Spark Arena.
Spark Arena.
And I was about 14 years old and very much in the absolute strongest depths of the Taylor Swift obsession that I have experienced.
And did you get to meet Taylor?
I did, yeah. And then I spent the whole time, I was so nervous and overwhelmed that I wasted the whole interaction telling her about my parents' costume hire.
But you look so gorgeous. It was really a great shout out for your parents' costume hire.
Yeah, I was just plugging Desiree costume hire.
And the hat as well.
Thank you.
Let's talk about this band that you have here with you today.
Band.
How did you all find each other?
Well, Jono, I found through Caleb in Georgia, as I said before.
Yeah.
How did I find you guys? My previous manager knew these guys and basically just linked us up, and they did a couple of shows for me last year. Yeah, literally as simple as that. And now
some of the best in Tamaki.
They're so amazing. It's literally the most short noticed. I'll just be like, can we learn these songs for like in a week's time? And I show up to practice and it feels like the whole job's already done. So they're awesome.
Ezra's got a sick jam space as well. So we get to practice there.
Yeah.
Shout out Ezra.
A sick jam space is always useful and very valuable. Well done, Ezra. So just to name everybody, we've got Rita Lang, Jacob Brown, Jono Knott, and Ezra Donnelly. What are you going to play next for us?
This next song's another unreleased one off the EP, and it is called Big Star.
To belong is a luxurious thing. Gotta learn the secret language they speak. If you figure out how to live without part of yourself, then you can walk in that dream. Looks like we've got another runner. She won't make it far. Oh, what have you done? You're such a big star. You're really somebody. And you swear you're having fun, but you're not fooling anyone. Oh, oh, oh. She's always been a man of her word, living up to all the stories you've heard. Shooting through the sky, burning bright, such a pretty sight, watching her come down to earth, watching her come down to earth. Don't try reaching out to touch her, she might fall apart. Oh, what have you done? Such a big star, you're really somebody, and you swear you're having fun, but you're not fooling anyone. Keep on running, baby, keep on running, is a luxurious thing. Oh, what have you done? You're such a big star. You're really somebody. And you swear you're having fun, but you're not fooling anyone. Oh, what have you done? You're such a big star. You're really somebody. And you swear you're having fun, but you're not fooling any, fooling anyone.
Rita May and band, that was Big Star. Now the next song, Rita, is a cover by an artist called Hemlock Springs.
It is.
Why have you picked this one?
Well, I've actually not done a cover in a really long time, and so I really didn't know what to pick. So I basically just picked my favourite song of the next few months. Simple as that. The song... Our version's quite a lot more depressing than the original song sounds, but the thing I love about it so much is it's this, like, fun, poppy-sounding song with this just, like, gut-wrenching sentiment of just, like, desperate for love is the feeling of the song. And I just thought there was something about it that was just, like, so vulnerable and so something that, like, most people aren't willing to ask for, and I just love that. And so I thought I would play that song.
All right.
Should we do it?
With the push of a button, I'm holding the breath, pulling it tight. But I have made a mistake, it's such a shame. I don't think you're in Kaya. I didn't know any better. In my head, I'm still a little girl at the movies, wondering, truly, is there anyone out there to love me? Such a capacity of it, I'm sure, is buried inside. And you could figure it out by yourself, but I have learned people aren't puzzles. But they puzzle me, be the things they don't wanna be. And now people struggle to find what was simple. Is there anyone out there to love me?
NZ Live. Rita May and Band, that was Anyone, a cover performed by Rita May. We've got just enough time for one more.
One more song.
Let's do it.
You think that you're special, baby, you're special, just like the other guys. Your hand on my waist, let's cut to the chase, you know.
Awesome. That was so gorgeous. Thank you so much. That's Kiss the Sky, Rita May and Band. We are just under a minute away from the news. Thank you so much. If people want to see you live, where can they hear you?
Oh, goodness. I don't have any shows coming up.
Nothing yet. But you've got some new music coming out.
Yeah.
Keep your ears peeled.
Keep your ears peeled. Follow Rita May.
Follow
and you'll find
Rita
me.
May. What a pleasure to spend Friday afternoon with you all. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Afternoons, I'm Susanna Leiatawa in for Jesse Mulligan this afternoon. News is next. In the next hour, we'll have a one-pan wonder recipe. Stay tuned for that. You can also find it on our webpage. And, of course, it's Friday, so we've got Critter of the Week coming up. It'll be interesting to hear how it actually ranks in comparison to other Critters of the Week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.